0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0 0
Deterrence Studies, where we are advancing peace, promoting stability, and helping you to think deterrence. Each week, we inform you about a deterrence topic and its value in preserving peace. We hope you enjoy this show.
Greetings, everybody. By way of introduction, I'm Joe Buff. I was honored to join NIDS as a senior fellow earlier this year. My background combines actuarial science, that's insurance math and pension funding, with defense analysis and commentary. These fields have the same driving purpose, to help cushion our society against some rather severe calamities, disability and death, or terrorism and war. They have similar working paradigms, too, for understanding problems and developing solutions. For instance, the OODA loop is really the very same thing as what's called the insurance control cycle. Also, both fields rely heavily on futurism, the process of looking ahead on the real-world timeline and then planning in a disciplined way for optimal outcomes. Today's topic on NID knowledge, a wee bit of lateral thinking. Our interdisciplinary theme today is how the extremely low birth rates in China and Russia can lead these authoritarian superpowers to turn even more to nuclear weapons as tools of statecraft and warfighting. Basic demographic processes and linkages to war and peace. It's a basic principle of population dynamics that if a nation's birth rate is too low, its total size will shrink and its average age will go higher and higher. Any such continual shrinking and aging will eventually start to have dire implications for military funding and for military manning. These trends can, over a period of years, significantly erode a country's conventional military power. If that country owns nuclear weapons, this in turn can raise their attractiveness as a low-cost, low-manpower alternative. Russia and China are both suffering very low national fertility rates. The United States' birth rate is on the low side too, but it's a lot higher than theirs. This would be a lasting, persistent problem for any country, difficult to reverse in less than a generation or so, but it's all relative, and America's two main adversaries are relatively a lot more badly off than we are. Besides our national birth rate being higher, there is also the picture of immigration and emigration. These also affect population growth or shrinkage in ways that can be helpful to us, but not to Russia and China. How so? As you all know, lots of people of all ages are trying hard to get into the U.S. from all over, legally or illegally. We do need to keep out the ones who do not deserve to be here, but the deserving ones can benefit our national economy and our defense strength. In stark contrast, very few people of any age are trying to get into Russia or China, and a lot of them are trying hard to get out. So, net-net, China and Russia have been, are, and will for some while yet be feeling a mounting demographic crunch, which America does not have to face to at all the same degree. What does this imply? Let's unpack the linkages layer by layer. Macroeconomics and geostrategy. As a country's population shrinks and ages up to and beyond retirement age, several important and unfortunate things will happen. One, the size of its economically productive working age demographic cohort will shrink. Even without a formal retirement age, lots of aging workers will be forced by physical and or mental infirmities to withdraw from useful employment. At the same time, few teenagers will mature into adulthood to replace them. Total economic output will drop in absolute terms. Two, there will be a surge in the number of elderly people requiring all sorts of very expensive resource-draining care and support. Think livable old age pensions, intensive health care needs, nursing homes and hospices galore, you name it. This will badly compete with that country's available funding for its military a serious and politically divisive problem anywhere. 3. Very directly harmful to any country's conventional armed forces is that the number of young people available for military service will decline when the population shrinks and ages, resulting conventional war risks for an authoritarian regime. History shows that conventional wars often tend to be much more prolonged and bloody than way overconfident hardline leaders expect at the start. Then, a lack of enough treasure and enough troops to carry on the fight for year after year can threaten a regime's viability, its very survival. Lacking an inexhaustible national treasury and manpower pool for repeated conventional force regeneration, a dictator's expected quick and easy victory can instead turn into an existential threat to themselves. You may be thinking of Vladimir Putin's "In Kiev in 3 days, .. 2.5 years ago, nuclear risks to America and our allies. In the so-called second nuclear age we live in now, aka Cold War II, such negative impacts of an aging and shrinking population on an aggressor state can have very unfortunate consequences for that conflict's defending states. Money and manpower running low can nudge an expansionist regime to rely more and more of self-perceived necessity on its nuclear arsenal for two things: for influence, that is, for deterrence and compellence, and even for nuclear war fighting. Why do I say this? Let's unpack one more level and we'll wrap up. One reason is that the aforementioned macroeconomics, increased pressure to get the utmost bang for the utmost buck, has bad effects. For example, fusion warheads, hydrogen bombs, have a vastly higher destructive power to unit expense ratio than, say, conventional precision-guided hypersonic ordnance. This often surprises laymen, but when a superpower already owns the necessary know-how, technical infrastructure, and the military delivery platforms with hundreds or even thousands of nuke warheads in inventory, the incremental annual cost of more is really a relatively small percent of total GDP. We see this, for instance, in the U.S. Over the years to come, the cost of modernizing our nuclear triad, even with some inevitable cost overruns, will run at most 10% of our total annual defense budget. 90% of it is for conventional forces, including for the massive personnel costs. Speaking of which, the other reason, also touched on earlier, for nuclear warheads being so attractive is that nuclear warheads only need small teams to man their delivery systems. Only 2 people in an ICBM silo crew, potentially controlling dozens of MIRV nukes, but 10 or 20,000 soldiers in a conventional infantry division. In short, nukes can seem very economical to an authoritarian regime facing all the effects of a very low birth rate. Economical in rubles or renminbi, economical in people resources. 2 things in short supply when new births are in short supply. Conclusion. The aging and shrinking of the populations of China and Russia do need to be counted as additional factors pushing their leaders to rely even more on nuclear arms. Their nuclear arsenals are already being used constantly to make coercion and compellence threats against the West, for instance over Taiwan and in Ukraine. This could too easily reach a point where Beijing and or Moscow are definitely not bluffing. A genuine nuclear crisis or a nuclear shooting war, unless we effectively deter them starting yesterday. It is therefore critical that our next presidential administration and America in general not get complacent about our national strategic posture. Our nuclear posture badly needs realist, that is, realistic updating to fit the very dangerous state of the outside world, which will only get worse over time for years to come. a fuller understanding of adversary superpower demographic trends and their militarily destabilizing effects can, a little better, help the American people appreciate how truly vital it is that the United States modernize all our nuclear triad's multi-domain delivery platforms and right-size the number of deployed and stockpiled warheads truly necessary to adequately cope with the adversary threats. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening, and think deterrence.
Thank you for listening to NIDS Knowledge. This show is produced under the NIDS Podcasting Network, a division of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies. NIDS is a 501c3 organization dependent upon donations to provide this podcast and bring about awareness of the peacekeeping value of U.S. strength and our national deterrence. You can catch all of our podcasts or provide feedback at thinkdeterrence.com. I would like to thank our producer, Kimberly Charrington, our sponsors, and all the fantastic members of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies for making this podcast possible. Stay tuned next week for another exciting and informative NIDS Knowledge.
A production of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies.